Hello, my name is Jonathan Helmke. I'm the University Archivist at the University of Dubuque. Today I'm doing an oral interview with Justina Archibald. Justina, can you please spell your name, please?
My name, Justina Mitchell Archibald, Mitchell, my maiden name, C-H-E-S-T-I-N-A, Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, Archibald, A-R-C-H-I-B-A-L-D. Class of 1967.
Okay, thank you very much for that information. And so I have, this is going to be a very kind of a casual conversation, but we want to touch upon a couple different areas. The first question I have is, before you came to UD, can you give us a little bit of your background before you came to the university?
Yes. I am from Thomasville, Georgia. That's a small rural town in South Georgia, right across the Florida border. I'm from a family of six. I had 55 in my high school graduating class. I think I was number five. Anything else you want to know?
Yeah, in terms of...
My mother, I was a teacher at one point, but stopped and started running a restaurant. My father worked on the Atlantic coastline and was later transferred to New York. And, of course, you know, Southerners thought they weren't going to take their children to New York for they would go astray. But in order to keep the job, my father began working there.
Okay. Now, what did he do, I mean, as a profession?
He worked on the railroad, whatever they did.
So the railroad. Okay. Mm-hmm. And was your grandparents from Georgia, too, then?
Yes. Now, that's where I got my molding. As I told you, my father was transferred to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, in my mind and spirit, it appeared as if there was a divorce that had taken place, even though they were married. You understand?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was going to really act up. My grandfather said, oh, no, you send her down here. My grandfather's farm, we used to call it the family prison. So none of us went really astray because when I got there, it was three from New Jersey and two from California. So we never went astray any further than working in the fields and trying to And so I can truly tell you the therapy of hard work in straightening children out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall any of us even having to get a spanking from him. It's just the hard work. By the time you milk eight cows before going to school and then come back and chop wood and all that extra, I can truly tell you, you will be a saint.
That's right. I believe in that, too. And at the school that you attended, in like elementary school or high school, was it integrated in terms of race?
Oh, no. Everything in Thomasville was segregated.
Okay.
Even to one, at one point, the different races walked basically on different sides of the sidewalk.
Okay. What percentage of the population was African-American at the time?
About 50-50.
About 50-50, okay. Mm-hmm. So the school that you went to was segregated then?
And you know what's ironic? The schools were segregated.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the prettiest school, I mean the building.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is Thomas County was like one of the richest counties in Georgia because it had a large, large population of plantations.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And our principal, Mr. Varner, they used to call him Uncle Tom, but he had some kind of way that those people on the plantation, anything he went to ask for the school, they always got it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you see our school, you would be shocked if you see a picture of it. You like those old colonial poles and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Our school was the one in town that had it.
Ah.
But isn't it ironic that when integration occurred, That was the only school that was torn down. Right now, Thomasville High, which was the Caucasian school,
mm-hmm.
is still standing, even though they have built another Thomasville High. The old Thomasville High is still standing. Isn't that heavy? Then the county school that was for Euro-Americans is still standing, the old one, and a new one is built, yet the old one is still standing.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, you can't tell me.
Oh.
Now, that's facts.
Very. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And so, now, how did you get to UD then? What was the connection?
During the time, there was a move in the Presbyterian Church to integrate their schools or something.
Okay.
And a lot of us were dispersed throughout the country at various Presbyterian schools.
Okay.
But I came to University of Dubuque on a wing and a prayer. and the family, I tell you, there were six of us. My older sister had been charged with the mission of paying my tuition.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so my parents said, well, I should go to Florida A&M, which was in Tallahassee, about 36 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got married, then at least the probability of my completing my studies would be, easier on them if I had to commute both ways,
Yeah.
But that seemed to escalate. She thought I should go to Howard University. She thought that was one of the best schools in the country. Anyway, if she was going to pay it, blah, blah, blah. And it just kept escalating to the point that it became nerve-wracking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had left the farm then. I had been saved, and I could return home. So so I just prayed. I prayed. I said, Lord, you listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to send me to a school that these folk have never heard of. And they don't have to spend any money for me to get there or whatever. And it looked like that night, I wish I could pray like that one more time. And my bedroom looked like it lit up, and I saw an image of what I thought was Jesus coming through our pecan orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, the high school counselor called me in. She said, Chestina. She said, how would you like to go to an all-white school out in Iowa? I said, our way. She said, no, Iowa. I said, no, ma'am. She said, don't say no, ma'am. Say no. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, what if I said, if you keep your grades up and you can get a little job or whatever, we can help you get your transportation money there,
Mm-hmm.
And you can work on campus, and they want to spend a penny for you to get there. And the voice said, that's what you pray for.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, say yes. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, okay. You mean it? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I'll see if I can get someone to go with you. And she got a girl named Cynthia Rivers to come with me. And I came. And see, what people didn't realize is that having come directly from Thomasville, Georgia, I stayed that summer in Philadelphia. That was the summer of the March on Washington.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. I can remember it so well because my sister would not allow me to go.
Mm.
Because she said, her little sister coming from Thomasville, she wasn't going to let anything happen to her sister, but thought my mom and daddy would die, So anyway, when I got there, and my sister having gone to a African-American school
mm-hmm.
where people dressed a little differently, sent me to school with black suit, a white blouse, a black pillbox hat, and some white gloves.
Mm.
when they met me at the train station, they wondered, who in the Woo! So, hon, are you out here in aisle way now? And so, anyway, when I got there, people seemed really nice, I thought. I had an African-American girlfriend who, this man, Mr. Johnson, I think his name was Robert Johnson. I want you to get, I'm going to call you back and give you his full name, because who eventually ended up as my roommate, Ruthie Reynolds, was one of his recruits to Mary Holmes Junior College before she came to Dubuque.
Okay, yeah.
But she knew him and his wife and had a relationship with them long time too. But anyway, so the Presbyterian Church was going throughout the country finding folk that needed some help to get to college, and if they thought we'd study and make, you know, a contribution.
Mm-hmm. So they pay for your tuition then?
A large portion of it.
A large portion, okay.
Uh-huh, and I could get a loan for the remainder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my parents didn't have to do it. I could do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I could work on campus. I worked in the cafeteria.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And, oh, what was this lady's name? Rose. Meg. Margie. It was a lady there that ran the cafeteria. Her name was Margie.
Oh, Marge Kramer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what's ironic in life, mm-hmm, is I never will forget some of the Caucasian students would ask, why are all of y'all sitting together? And I would say something like, why don't you come join us?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yep.
And it is the irony in life that when you look at life through your tunnel vision,
mm-hmm,
and never, my grandfather had a phrase that has carried me farther than any formal training, mm-hmm, and that one phrase was, keep turning it.
Hmm.
And whatever the subject matter, if you keep turning it, that your tunnel vision will move to have a greater angle. This is in religion. This is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, and you don't make me get off on this, but let's just say Christians,
mm-hmm,
and I still am a Christian. But what in the devil, if you don't believe what I believe as a Christian, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Wait a minute. But yet when someone else says that if you don't believe what I believe, I'm going to kill you, we know that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyway. Now, the thing that I think I learned most from Dubuque,
mm-hmm,
is to know the difference between when someone critiques what you are or doing as opposed to criticizing it.
Okay, yeah.
And I learned this from a Mr. Robinson who was in the area of speech and drama. And he could only do what he knew to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they gave out two or three freshman speech contest little things. And that, I think William Stubblefield got one and I got one. You know. One thing, God gifted God's ebony children with the gift of speech. Some of them. Now they go Ebonics, but for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
In my era.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And since I was a speech and drama major, he would say, Chestina, you need to enunciate more. Remember, I won the speech contest and won most of it at school. You understand? But coming from South Georgia, you can say swinging.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to swinging.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that as opposed to that. And if you're from South Georgia, like Savannah,
mm-hmm.
they would say four as opposed to four.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was not criticizing me. He was critiquing my speech in order that when I left him and the school, that I would speak general American as opposed to a distinct Southern drawl or accent. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I was mad now, though. Ooh, God. And now, on the other hand, that was good. But often persons want you to live out their perverted illusions of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't watch television anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to African Americans, it's too foolish. I just want to take some, you know. For an example, when I was growing up, they used to have something called the 4-H Club. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's still some around.
Okay.
Still, yeah.
But when it comes to African-American women now on TV, the little that I can see, it's a 3-H Club. Mm. They present us either as a white man's whore, a hoochie mama, or the help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And since I was a speech and drama major, he didn't want me to graduate without having been in a play, because it was always safe for him to put me as the assistant director. You understand?
Okay.
So he said, well, at least I want her to be in one play before she leaves. And he worked all summer, his wife told me, looking for a play that he thought I could play the role in. So I said, so I'll try for the leading role then.
Uh-huh.
I'm a senior. He said, no, the public could not accept you in that role.
What play was that?
I don't remember the name. Anyway, it was a comedy. And he had gotten a part for me as a maid, and there was a comedy. He thought I could play a comical maid.
So this was in 66 then?
It was the spring of 66. Yeah, that's about right. And I tell you, it was the girl who played that part of the maid. Oh, she was a heresy. Her name was Judy something.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Judy. I forgot Judy's last name. But anyway, I told him one thing. Now, I worked on my granddaddy's farm, but I wasn't a maid in South Georgia.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to come out to Iowa acting like one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you had better get ready to produce you a play, direct you one. So you know the play Green Pastures?
Yeah, yeah.
So I did a brief cutting of that play and went all over town getting all the black folk in. That was at Laura's and Clark
mm-hmm.
to be in this play. And we pulled it off. But there was one man who was in sociology at that time, and because, you know, we opened up saying, some say I look like God, could thou by chance be black, since nobody knows just what that man looks like. And so he got me at, when they had a questioning at the end, he said, when you went that far, it looked like you'd have said, knowing you, Chestina, nobody knows just what that woman looks like. You understand?
Mm.
But see, he was even more advanced than I was
mm-hmm.
in his thinking. But anyway. Now, there was a lady there, Caucasian lady, Mimi Vernon. I will never forget her as long as there's breath in my life. There's life in my breath, breath in my life,
mm-hmm.
breath, as long as I have breath and I'm living. She was from North Carolina.
Okay.
Her husband was a doctor.
Uh-huh.
And often she would come to campus and get us. She stayed on the Hill Street. I don't know. I can't remember that part. But anyway, her husband and son died in their private plane.
Mm.
But when I went to Mima's house, there was always this picture of this African-American man. I said, Mimi, who is that? She said, that's my father, my daddy. I said, that's not, I mean, she was so blonde until her eyelashes was blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's not your daddy. She said, that's the daddy I know, Chestina. I said, what are you talking about? Then later on, towards when we got to be very, very close, she said, you know, I think her daddy had been a doctor too, but was busy going throughout, you know, and whatever this man's name was, would always be the one she could talk to about anything. He worked for them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And she said, that's the closest thing I know to what a father should be to, you know.
Yeah.
But Mimi would take me to different places throughout Iowa, girl. I mean, God. Like for different church groups and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Speaking about the problems in the South. Now, there is a man's name I want to go down in history. His name is Mr. Wayne Drexler. He was the principal, superintendent of the Epworth School District.
Oh, yeah, west of here, yep.
Uh-huh. And, you know, for him to hire an African-American when I graduated, you know, he had stepped out. And then what the church made a mistake of doing, because the kids just loved me, they asked me to speak at a mother and daughter's banquet. And, Lord, I didn't have any better sense than to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke on a black mama and daughter in a white man's world. Lord, did they go back to him that Monday and told him they need to get rid of me? And he asked them one question. He said, now, did she invade the banquet, or was she invited to speak? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to hear what she had to say, or did you want to put in her mouth what you wanted to hear?
Yeah.
So I don't know if many of them finished eating that night, but anyway. And he would write me, I know at least 20 or 30 years, if I ever want to teach again, please come back to Epworth. So that was nice, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can I go back to the plays real quick?
Sure.
So in terms of the speech and drama majors, were there other African-Americans at the time that were in that degree, or were you just the only one at the time?
I think I was the only one at the time.
Okay.
Because, you know what I gave as a demonstration one time? Mr. Robinson went there. Who was there before him? Forgot. But anyway, because they would always be talking about our hair. So I showed them how we use a hot comb to straighten our hair, right?
Yeah.
He said it was an excellent speech, but I know it was a last minute thought. Oh, God. Anyway. Now, Obie Sadler, right?
Say that again?
I don't know if you know the name, Obie Sadler. But anyway, he lived in Waterloo.
Oh, yeah. I have on the list here. Yeah.
So anyway, I was having a black attack. I said, if I don't see any African-American color black Negro folk this week,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting out of this school.
Yeah. Was that your freshman year, your first year? Or?
I think that must have been my freshman year.
Okay.
My freshman year, we had four African-American girls to come in.
Uh-huh.
Amita Daniels from New York. Jackie had just passed. Jackie. She was from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Rivers from Thomasville, and myself.
What was the fourth person again?
Cynthia Rivers.
Okay.
And she's here in Atlanta.
Okay.
But she transferred after, in the middle of the second year.
Okay.
Jack and Amita didn't come back after the first year.
Oh, Cynthia didn't?
No, none of the three that was in my freshman class came back.
Wow. So you're the only one after your sophomore year then?
Now they had some, my high school counselor was sending people in every year from Thomasville.
Okay.
So after I came that first year,
uh-huh.
Then she sent in Laverna Henderson and Mary Harvey from Thomasville. Mary Harvey ended up with a PhD. And what I'm going to do between me and you, I'm going to get with that Office of Institution Advancement, and I'm going to draft a letter if she gives me the address to all of them. Dubuque was good. Does it's time for us to do something for Dubuque for posterity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Mary Thompson
mm-hmm.
from Thomasville, and she became Miss Freshman. I think that was the first time Euro-Americans had really seen someone that they knew was just gorgeous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's her first name again?
Mary.
Mary, okay.
She was Mary Thompson. And my freshman year, or sophomore year, we had a girl who Doja Jones was dating. Her name was Kathy something.
Mm-hmm.
She was from Chicago, and she was Miss Dubuque.
Wow.
Uh-huh. But the reason the difference in Kathy being Miss Dubuque and Mary Thompson being Miss Freshman is that Kathy could pass for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was Kathy's last name?
I don't know.
Well, that's okay. I can find out. But
yeah, but somewhere between 63. Anyway, 63 to 67, somewhere through there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see her. She's a very, very pretty girl. But she was, you know, Miss Dubuque.
So she was from Thomasville too then?
No.
Okay.
She was from Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, right.
Uh-huh. Mary Thompson, who was Miss Freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Was from Thomasville.
And then Mary Harvey
was from Thomasville.
Yep, and Henderson too?
Laverna Henderson.
Laverna.
Was from Thomasville.
Wow, okay.
I don't know if anybody else came from Thomasville.
Then you and Cynthia came from Thomasville then too then.
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, so those various years then they kept sending people.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Was there a certain person in Thomasville that was very...
Yes, a Mrs. Margaret Mike Ivor, who recently passed.
Mm-hmm.
She was the high school counselor.
Okay.
But she was not only sending students to the University of Dubuque like that. She was sending them to Alma College.
Mm-hmm.
Like John Rome and... Shirley Thomas, you know, just, anyway, I can't even remember where everybody went like that.
Okay. So of your group here, you're the only one that finished, right? I mean.
Now, Ruthie finished, no, Mary Harvey finished from Thomasville.
Okay.
Everybody finished that came from Thomasville except Cynthia, who transferred, who finished from University of Michigan.
Okay. Okay.
One thing that I think was very instrumental, which I see the same kind of traits in the president that is at the University of Dubuque right now,
mm-hmm.
is that, what was his name? Lord Jesus.
Mr. Couchman?
Yes, Couchman, yes.
Yeah.
We knew that we had an advocate.
Mm.
That was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there an example of a time where he was an advocate, where you faced adversity,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
from the community?
Was about that play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went and told him. I told him.
And what did he say?
He said, no, I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He said, now he has to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. For that too. So then, make sure I get the story straight. Then you had your own play then, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Green Pastures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you recruited people.
African-Americans.
Yep. Did any Caucasians attend the play?
Oh, yeah. Whole school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So the school supported that then?
I don't know whether they supported it or not. But they were there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been just curious.
Yeah. Where was the play at?
The play was held in... I'm trying to see. I think we converted the cafeteria.
Okay. Peter's Commons?
Yes.
Okay. For that, too.
Big pardon?
Okay. So, Peter's Commons in that stage area. There then,
mm-hmm. and down below too. Just use the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. For that too. So you good attendance at that play then?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did the school do the other play that you refused to do?
Yes, they did.
For that.
But I tell you, this Caucasian girl played the part of the maid.
Interesting.
Her name was Judy something.
Mm-hmm. For that, too. Kind of in a broader context, you kind of mentioned a couple of different things, but in your kind of the social life of the university, what kind of things did you do? Kind of your favorite memories or...
Sure.
Things that you remembered?
Sure. We always had a TGIF. Thank God it's Friday dance.
Okay.
Down in the lower part of the commons.
Okay.
I never forget when this girl from Chicago, her name was Shirley something. Gosh, she wore them thick glasses. Anyway, remember I told you my mother had a restaurant. So I knew about songs on the jukebox.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so when the man came, I told him he had to change those records. He said he didn't have any, the list that I had given him. So when Shirley went to Chicago, I said, now, you bring me back this, you know, the 45, blah, 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 bring me back, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I stood there and waited for the man to get there. I said, I have the song for you to put on the jukebox. And do you know music can revolutionize a campus? And that's what happened. Everybody started changing, having a better time or different time on Friday evenings. And I think they enjoyed it more.
Oh, good. What kind of songs?
Okay, songs like Come On, Let's This Again, Chubby Checker.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the songs were of that extent. Do the Monkey, yeah, one more time, something. And of course, you know, being from Georgia. 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 Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just African-American songs
mm-hmm.
of the day.
Okay.
And then I liked some of the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
I think that really changed. I can't get no satisfaction. You know.
So did, in terms of the dance on that Friday, you know, TJF, was it a mixture of races?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we knew how to do line dances.
Okay.
So when you do line dances, you know, everybody dances.
Yeah.
And do you know that, like, have you ever watched something called Soul Train?
Oh, yeah.
and so when we taught them how to do the Soul Train stuff, it relieved them. I think they felt more, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a connection then point between?
I don't think there was. You know what's ironic? It's when people think in terms of race and racial issues.
Yeah.
They always look from the viewpoint of Euro-Americans. I think even adults would not have been able to stay, I'm using for an example, in Epworth as the only African-American. You understand?
Yeah.
Or someone coming from an all-African-American church, all-African-American school, all-African-American community, or all-Euro-American, you know, church, Euro-American
yeah.
school, and being placed in a, to me, in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, child, do you realize not only the social mixture from the ethnicity standpoint, but even the weather. Do you know that was the first time I'd ever seen snow?
Oh.
And what happened? Miss Jarvis was her name. I never forget it. She was the dean of students who stayed in the building. And when I saw all of that, you were not supposed to go out, I think, after 9 or 10 or whatever the time
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah.
When I saw all that snow, I just burst through the door. I just had never seen that before in my life. And the love went off, and she just said, let alone. I had just never seen that before.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, something that's simple to someone else. I had never seen that before.
For that, too. I think you're right, you know, in terms of those simple things.
Yeah. You know, that... And let me tell you something else that you really go freak you out. When I first got, and just to let you know, also, you can become accustomed to anything. I know it's going to freak you out, but anyway, you need to know the truth about it. When I first got there, I couldn't eat the food. You want to know why? You know, the veins of Caucasians are more visible on the hands than on ours. I couldn't eat the food. You understand?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy now to me. But it was a real thing for me. They used to send me boxes all the time.
Oh, from Georgia. And
yeah.
Ship you food.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And just to let you know how your mind can change about anything.
Yeah.
When my mama said, we ain't sending another box. Not another one coming. You understand? Not another one is coming. Isn't that weird? Now, to let you know something else. Is that there was this fella whose name, my name was Chestina Mitchell, right? And his name was Charles Mitchell. So you remember I'm getting all these boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know who it was. He said, I'm going to stand to this mailbox and see who's just getting all these boxes. And so it was a box. And so he said, well, I'm going to help you carry this book. Now remember, see, I want you to put this in your head. I want you to put yourself in Africa. Put yourself now in Africa. Okay? And this is this tall, jet-black woman. Okay? That's trying to befriend you. Okay? Coming from Iowa to Africa. So this fella says, I'm going to take this over to Dumbarton Church. for you. Remember, I'm from Thomasville, Georgia. I said, oh, no. So he insisted. And he was from Canada.
Okay, yeah.
His eyes were blue. Remember, blue eyes is like a foreign object to me.
Mm-hmm.
White hair. The only white hair I'd seen was what? Old folk.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Skin so white, I ain't know what in the world to me. Okay? And guess what? When I got to the dormitory, all the girls were just screaming. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, what in the world? And they thinking that's the best looking something ever hit whatever. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
You see from the perspective of the lens through which you view life.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be more careful.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, we became close enough friends because he was just so nice. And he didn't know anything about discrimination and stuff like I did or we did, you know, in America.
Mm-hmm.
Such.
Yeah.
And so he said he'd never, just to let you know how even my idea could change, I guess about, anyway, wasn't that Christmas, but that summer he said he was going to be traveling throughout the United States. And he'd probably be traveling south. And you know what I said? Well, you can stay at our house. Now, you know that was crazy. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of way, I guess if I were going to look for the solution of social issues, I would say that exposure can change people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yep.
However, when the exposure is done, it cannot be skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. I think the integration of schools have been one of the worst things. I'm not talking about on the college level.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about on the elementary.
K-12.
Yeah, K-12. That has ever happened. I know for African-Americans and probably for Euro-Americans also.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why I say that. And our country was not ready for it. See, you can't teach without discipline. And you can't discipline unless there are repercussions for your ill-mannered actions.
Mm-hmm.
And because our society was not ready for the merger to that degree, anything that happened, see, I could have said Mr. Robinson is doing this to me because I'm African American.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or a person who's disciplining a person now would say, you know, they're doing this, treat my child because they're African American, or do you treat mine because she's Euro-American or Hispanic, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some kind of way, that particular issue must be corrected if this experiment called integration is to profit. Anyway, you don't need to know my whole philosophy of life.
No, but it's good. It's good philosophy.
Anyway, I tell you one thing that Dubuque did especially for me.
Mm-hmm.
It has prepared me to be able to intermingle with persons around the world with ease.
Mm.
You understand?
Yep.
And sometimes I think it's almost startling to Euro-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know my background.
Yeah.
It's like we had at Fisk University, where I, you know, worked for, until retirement, a Euro-American priest who represented the Catholic, you know,
mm-hmm.
on campus. And so he had been there like for some 20 years. And I guess they moved him to Minnesota or somewhere where there were not that many African Americans. And he said, Chestana, one day I saw three African American guys walking on the way to football players and I. He said, but I know they thought I was a pervert or something crazy. He said, because I just wanted to touch them. You understand?
Yeah.
Having been, you know, on an all-black campus for that many years and kids just hugging him and loving him. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
How did the greater Dubuque community accepted you, do you think? When you went outside campus, or did you go outside campus?
Oh, yeah, I went outside campus. Now, that's what Mimi and I talked about. Remember my friend Mimi?
Yeah.
We were talking about that one time, and she said something similar. And I told her I never saw them. She said, what you mean? You don't see them. I said, I just don't see them. She said, Chestana, that's worse than hating them. I said, well, that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. When I look back on that just at this moment, I wonder why I didn't see them. You know why? Because I had come from South Georgia, where I didn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if, you know, they were just oblivious to me. Now, I told her we did go sometimes. I think it was across the river.
East Dubuque?
Yeah. It was a honky-tonk little place where they played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go over there, 5 or 6 or 10 of us or 12 of us, and dance to the band. But you had to be back by 9 or 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So most of your social activities was on campus then?
Or I would go to Waterloo.
Or Waterloo.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So you had people had connections to Waterloo then to...
No, remember we had a student from Waterloo.
Oh, that's right. It's...
Obie,
yeah.
And matter of fact, I remember to tell you, I had that black attack. I said, I ain't to see some black folk.
Mm-hmm.
And so but you can come home and stay with me for the weekend. His girlfriend said, oh, no, she can stay with us. And do you know, I stayed with them whenever I got ready from my freshman year to my senior year. And we are still friends. Matter of fact, one of his sister-in-laws lives here in Atlanta because she went home with me for one summer. And she loved Atlanta, and she said, one day I'm going to move back to Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
For that, too. Okay. In terms of kind of after college, what did mm-hmm. you do after college then?
No, I taught 1 year at Epworth High
okay.
School.
Okay, yeah.
Then I went to Howard Law School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then... you want to hear something? Well, I forgot this being taped. But anyway.
That's okay. That's okay. We can edit it.
remember, I had come from Epworth, Iowa now.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, this was 68.
Uh-huh.
Where everybody else was wearing the miniskirts.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, and I had come from Iowa wearing what? Almost to my knees, looking almost. And, so I had brought them my little raggedy luggage sitting right in front of the administration building, and everybody walking by looking at who in the world looked a black lady looking like a Mormon. Oh, Jesus! And anyway, so I thought I had a room in the dormitory because I put down I was going to be a freshman. And when later found out I was a freshman in law school, if she didn't raise Cain and blah, 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 blah. So I went to law school crying and told them what happened. And they said, well, we're going to get the largest fellow in the law school to help you move your stuff over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being my husband.
Wow, okay.
Wait a minute. Not because he moved me to the number, but then I called my parents and said, they don't have a room for me. And they said, well, you have a cousin there who's pastors. Let me get this number. And he took me to my cousin's house. And that boy got down on his knees that Sunday to the altar, hadn't been to church. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Yeah.
So you went to law school then?
Uh-huh, from 6 to 8 to 7 to 1.
Okay.
And then moved to Chicago. And that's what I was going to tell you. You know, I'll tell you how Dubuque has enabled me to this is my president of my school. Let me tell him one thing, okay?
Yeah.
Hold on. Honey, Jesus is my boss.
Excuse me?
Jesus is my boss.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
God, please. I just wanted to tell him I was on another line. I'd call him back.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Okay, but let me tell you what I'm doing right now. Have you ever heard of Intrust?
Yes.
Okay. I'm dealing with a webinar with them that will take how many? I think it's 14 minutes before it's over. How long are you going to be at this number where you are? Are you want to pick this up on another time?
Would 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock your time work?
What time is it now?
It's 6:15 my time. I think it's...
Okay, and it's 7:15 my time?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Would that work? Did I call you back around 9 o'clock?
That's good.
It should take about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay, and listen... I'm not going out the house tonight. And if I'm anybody on the line with anybody else, I get off.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is the second part of my oral interview with Justine Mitchell, Archibald. And we left off here, I think, in terms of your future kind of endeavors after you left UD. So you can explain kind of your journey from UD to where you're at right now.
Okay. Went to law school. Then I was telling you about having gone to school in Dubuque.
Yes.
Helped me feel very relaxed in all diverse groups. And I think that was instrumental in my husband getting a job at a major law firm. They wanted to make sure, you know, all the wives could communicate, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so that did give an edge. We stayed there about 2 years, and then he started a law firm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And after that, I never practiced law.
Okay.
I was acting like I was a housewife. But that was contrary to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working at the governor's office in Tennessee.
Okay.
And from there, I was running from a call to preach.
Okay.
And... when you're running from the call to preach, you have a lot of Jonah experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
The belly of the whale might seem mild in comparison.
Yeah.
And I had a host of those. And finally said, okay, God, my arms are too short to box with you.
Yep.
but her husband was not quite amenable. It's amazing how some men don't mind you being a president even, but not a preacher. So we ended up going our separate ways.
Okay.
And my parents thought, you know, that's the baby's daddy. So I married him again, which was, I think, a mistake. But anyway, I'm glad I did to know that I had done all what I thought could do.
Mm-hmm.
And then ended up going to seminary.
Okay.
And after that, went back to Nashville and got a job, campus ministry. Then went on to be the chaplain and stayed there to retirement.
Wow. So which university was that that you were at?
FISK.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How large of a school is that?
It's about 500.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're
a little larger.
A little larger.
Mm-hmm. Just not, but not 1,000, not yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For that too. Okay, so you were a campus preacher there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so did you enjoy working with college students?
Oh, yes, very much.
Oh, good.
That's why I look as good as I do. Now, seriously, I was in the hospital the other day because I felt something that wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, you can't be the age you say you are. I said, they made a mistake on that birth certificate. You know. But I think it's because I was always worked with students,
mm-hmm,
whose energy, you know, is always high, and it was joyful.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
So are you in the Nashville area right now then?
I'm in the between Nashville and Atlanta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of go back and forth.
Right. My son and, you know, grandbaby, I have one son.
Okay.
One granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
You know. So back and forth.
Back and forth then. How long a drive is that between the two?
4 hours.
Not too bad then.
Mm-mm. Especially when it's good weather.
That's right.
And going through the mountains, it's a beautiful ride.
Oh, I bet. I bet during the fall time too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In terms of kind of any closing thoughts you would like to share, you know, in terms of either your experience at UD or your life's journey or anything you want to share?
I think if I were to address the African Americans that I was able to witness,
mm-hmm,
on my last visit, I don't know how they are doing academically.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the attire of some of the females was quite disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mentioned to you earlier about this generation is living out the perverted illusions that the media is portraying about them. And that's what I would tell them. You need to find out who you are. As the kids at this say, don't be who you ain't, because if you be who you ain't, you can't be who you is, you know, to just make it, you know, emphatic.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my concern.
Okay.
But again, I tell you, that's my concern with integration altogether.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, on a Fisk campus, you can say, come here, Gail, come here. What is this about?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
I pray you don't have the sagging pants there, or do you?
Oh, yes, we do.
Beg pardon?
We do.
You see, and I'll tell you this, even if I pay my own way, if there's ever a time when I can speak to them, I will tell them exactly. So what in the hell are you going to educate your head and you got the better sense than the way your pants on the ass? Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You can't say that, but I can.
Yeah.
And, they need to know, from the 4 years that I was there, I know we have at least 4 or 5 judges.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Ruth Reynolds is one of 2 women in the country with a PhD in accounting and an attorney. Mayor Harvey. Everybody who was in that era, no one stopped with just a bachelor's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they kept going.
They not only kept going, they kept going with an intent to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, anyone wrapped in him or herself makes too small a package to make a difference. And if you don't have anything beyond yourself for which you are striving, then your efforts seem, seem fruitless. How is the, now, one thing I did when I was there.
Now, what year were you here last?
For my, was it 50th?
Okay.
40th. Let me see, I finished in 67. So it must have been for my 40th. Okay. Because it hasn't come my okay, so it was my 40th.
In 2007, okay.
2007.
Gotcha, okay. Go ahead and ask your question.
Has it been that long?
Time goes fast.
They had not put up the last building. You know, the building with the art?
Oh, yes. The Heritage Center, yep.
They had not put that up. So they put that up what, around 8? Or they were getting ready to put it up or doing putting it up. But it was not complete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was when some fella called everybody together. Anyway. Is there a counselor on campus?
Yes. Amy Baus is our...
Who is this again?
Amy Baus, B-A-U-S.
Okay.
She is part of the student life team, department.
African-American?
No, Caucasian. And then they recently hired, about 3 years ago, maybe, a second counselor. Because she was being overwhelmed. So they hired...
Is there an African-American counselor on campus?
No.
You remember that man I told you about, Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
He was not on campus, but he visited the campus at least bi-monthly.
Okay.
Bi-monthly. And he became like a father figure. Everybody told Mr. Johnson everything.
Mm-hmm.
About everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, he was African-American too, then?
Yes.
Okay.
He was like a father figure for all of us.
Hmm. Can you refresh my memory here? So he lived in Dubuque, or he came from somewhere else?
He came from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, so he flew up.
Yes. But see, his coming was underwritten by the Presbyterian Board of Missions.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
And not only did he come to Dubuque, he went to all these Presbyterian schools around the country, and that was his job.
Oh, okay.
Recruiting these African Americans and keeping an eye on them.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, that was the key, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he still living, or is he...
No, he's dead.
Okay.
He is dead.
Okay. But he was kind of...
I wish he were, because he would be the person to come, you know.
Yeah.
And when he came, he would take all of us out to dinner.
Wow.
Again, that was underwritten by the Presbyterian Board of Missions.
Mm-hmm.
And, but not all the African-Americans on campus. All of us who was there through the Presbyterian Board of Missions.
Okay.
You understand?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that program last, do you know?
No, I sure do not.
Okay.
But if I find that, I will just email you that.
Yeah, I might do a little research, too, on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
And it would be interesting to know how many persons from the South that was dispersed throughout the nation via the Presbyterian Board of Missions and what happened to those people.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious if they started like in the 50s or did they start in the 60s for that program. And so, do you know if there were people before you, like in the early 60s?
Not at Dubuque.
Okay. Mm-mm. So you were the first one from that program to come to Dubuque?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was a new program that he had contacted Mrs. Mike Ivor.
Oh, your guidance counselor?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is a very interesting story, actually. Interesting.
You know, the Presbyterian Board of Mission would like that... report, just to know what happened to their, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. For that, too. Okay. Well, I'm going to turn the recorder off here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll do some wrap-up here. So, this is Jonathan Helmke. I'm finishing up the recording, and thank you very much.